Hello, this is Josh Findlay, director of the Texas Public Policy Foundation's National Election Protection Project, where we talk all things election integrity. We're excited to be joined today by Mayor Gracie Vandermark. She is the mayor of Huntington Beach, California. They just had some very recently passed citizen-led initiatives that involve election integrity that we are very excited to talk about, specifically involving voter ID. It's a very hot topic, that and only citizen voting is something that our country is addressing a lot right now. And in a lot of ways, I think those two topics go hand in hand. Mayor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So usually on this podcast, we ask our guests to introduce themselves. I could read a biography, but I love to hear people's perspectives firsthand. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in politics, your background, and why you decided to become the mayor of Huntington Beach.
So I'm an angry mother. That's what I am. I actually had no interest in politics until I found pornography in the curriculum they gave our children, the sex ed curriculum here locally. So then I approached them. I showed them the links. I showed them the websites, and they refused to move them. And just to make a point, I decided to go and file my paperwork to run against them because nobody was running against them. So I said, fine, maybe they'll pay attention now. Angry mom again. I expected 1,000 votes. Friends, family, ended up with over 12,000 votes and lost by 2,000 to the board president, which was pretty cool for a stay-at-home mom of 23 years. And then after that, I decided to run for council because we didn't have any grassroots candidates that we knew, and I had some name recognition. So in 2020, I ran with Tito Ortiz and another council member. We ran then. Three seats came in fourth, and then we tried it again a fourth time. This time, though, our problem here with our elections, I don't know if it's with you guys too, but in California, is we split our votes. We had four seats, and we had 20 candidates. And out of those 20 candidates, I want to say maybe 18 are Republican. So we end up splitting the votes, and we never win. So this time, we came out full force. We came out as a team. We hit all the endorsement committees together. And just coming together is what made all the difference. And within this one election, we flipped our council from a 6-1 against us to a 4-3 in our favor. So that's how I got here.
That's incredible, Mayor. Now, tell us a little bit about Huntington Beach and how it relates politically to the liberal state of California. From what I understand, you're a little bit of an outlier there, aren't you?
We are now. Actually, our council was 6-1. Leaning left, which is amazing because when I moved here 23 years ago, it was always a conservative town. I'm culturally conservative. I'm a Latina. We are culturally conservative. So this was a perfect fit for my family. And little by little, I started seeing changes. I moved here from LA. So I started seeing changes from Los Angeles coming here, and that kind of put up all kinds of red flags. Said, absolutely not. If I wanted to live in LA, I would have stayed there. So we've been pushing back. A lot of residents gave up hope and they ended up moving out because they did not like the direction Huntington Beach was going. But through this miracle and the unity, we were able to flip our council. And all we're doing now is taking our city back to where it originally was. So they're calling us radicals when all we're doing is taking our city back to how it was just a few years ago. But that's okay. They can call us whatever they want. The citizens moved here for a reason, and we are entitled to have our little conservative area if we choose to do so. The rest of California is mostly liberal. So for a state that claims to want diversity and inclusion, we're not being included very well. We're actually being ostracized. And the minute we say, no, we want our little space for ourselves, we get called all these horrible names. But we're going to fight for our little spot.
I love to hear citizens fighting. You know, in Texas, the grassroots is so important, right? People think about the big cities in Texas, especially when it comes to election integrity. Everybody talks about Houston and Harris County. But, you know, a lot of times it's the cities where the amazing things happen. And that's happening in Huntington Beach right now. I mean, in the middle of this liberal state, you've got this great conservative little city that has just passed some very interesting election integrity citizen passed election integrity policies, right? So tell us a little bit about what you passed and how that came to be.
So while we were campaigning, a lot of our constituents said they had concerns with our election. They've given up. They want to move. They don't feel the election is secure. And I personally think it's ridiculous that we don't ask for ID to vote. You have to show ID to go buy cough syrup, alcohol, cigarettes. You have to show ID to exist, pretty much, and not to vote. And every single thing we do on our day-to-day lives, from what we drive, what stoves we can have in our homes, how much water, what schools our kids can go to, what we can wear and where we can wear it, all of that is determined by a politician. Our lives are dictated by politicians and their legislation, their policies. And I believe it's really important that we have as many measures of security in place as possible. We have other countries that are not as developed as we are that require ID. In Mexico, you need an ID and a voting credential. But they're saying here it's racist. And one of the things Attorney General Bonta said was that it was unfair to the people of color, low-income communities, the elderly, and young people. Like I said, I grew up in Los Angeles in the low-income community. I'm a Latina. I had an ID. We weren't too stupid to get an ID. We were poor, not stupid. And for him to say that, I found that insulting. And that's actually when I came out swinging. I said, you're not going to call people like us who were dealt pretty bad cards and we survived and we made it too ignorant to have an ID or incapable. As a matter of fact, one of those people he thinks is incapable of having an ID is now the mayor of Huntington Beach. We survived. We're resourceful. We know how to get things done. And I found that offensive. As far as the elderly, we used to have dozens of voting locations here. Or the elderly could have gone to their neighbor's garage, firehouses, clubhouses, schools. Now we're down to less than two dozen polling locations, and they're fixed. So that doesn't make it easier for our elderly. Now they have to go out of their way to get there. As far as our youth not having IDs, in the state of California, there are no restrictions for IDs. You can be an infant and your parents can get you an ID. So that there aren't any issues. And if you can't afford an ID, we have programs for free IDs. If you need a birth certificate, there are programs to help you get a birth certificate. Those are just excuses. And that what makes me worried is, why are they so worried that we want more protections for our elections? Just let us have what we're asking for.
So that's exactly right. And I want to get into the Attorney General in a minute here. But first of all, one thing that I think is really important about this was a citizen initiative, right? A lot of people don't know this, but there's polling out there that shows that, 80% of people believe that you should be required to show an ID to vote. And so the fact that your citizens took the initiative to pass this reflects that polling is accurate. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that worked out?
So when we were talking about it on council, the majority, the four of us, we were being attacked saying, this is just something you want. You want it. It's you and your radical views. How dare you want people to prove their identity to vote? So we said, that's fine. Let's put it out there for the voters to decide. So we went ahead and we included it in our ballot, and the measure passed. People want voting ID, both Democrats and Republicans. If you have common sense, you realize that our elections are really, really important. Results matter. And we should be careful. So this was actually a bipartisan issue. It's just a few loud people who say, no, we don't want this.
You're exactly right that it's bipartisan, right? When you ask people, like I said, in polling, they believe that this is an 80% issue. So what does your policy do here that is different than what is happening in the rest of California?
What we would require is ID for our municipal elections. Our California Constitution allows for charter cities, which we are, to handle our own municipal affairs. And that's exactly what this is. And so now what's happening in Sacramento, our own Sacramento Constitution, California Constitution says we can do this. But now we have a Senator Dave Mynn, who's currently writing legislation to make it illegal. If it's already illegal, why are you wasting time, energy, and resources trying to make it illegal? So we're going to push back as far as we need to. It's kind of become the ongoing thing between Huntington Beach and Sacramento. When we created a group of parents to review books that were sexually explicit, now Senator Dave Mynn is trying to write a bill to prevent us from doing that. So that is not tyranny. I don't know what is. Our government is no longer afraid of the people. It's the people afraid of the government. That is tyrannical. That's the beginning, and we have to fight back. And I believe right now is the time to fight back, and we're prepared to go full force.
That's exactly right, right? This is something that the people have to have control over here. So getting back to the attorney general. So he sued you, right? Sued the city of Huntington Beach over this policy under an election code that prohibits, let's see, I've got it written down here, mass, indiscriminate, and groundless challenging of voters solely for the purpose of preventing voters from voting. It seems to me, well, how does needing to show ID to vote, how is it indiscriminate? How does it prevent voters from voting on a mass scale?
It doesn't. It doesn't. What he's saying makes absolutely no sense. They're making it up as they go because we're the first city to do this for our municipal elections. And I'll tell you right now, we're not the last. We have a few others who are saying, that's it, we're done. We're going in the same direction.
Well, I love that. I think this is a model that other cities should follow. So what would you say to other cities in California and elsewhere also that want to pass this type of policy?
Join us. You have to get out and do it. A lot of cities agree with us. We travel, we go everywhere. Every time they find out we're council members from Huntington Beach, they come up to us and say, we agree with what you're doing. To say, so are you going to follow suit and do it? They said, absolutely not. We're waiting to see what the governor does with you guys. Stop being afraid. And unfortunately, a lot of politicians are worried about taking on what they consider controversial issues. Those are the issues that matter. We're not afraid of doing that. My priority right now is to protect my city, make sure my kids are able to stay and live here, make sure my grandson stays here and lives in my city and doesn't have to pack up and go. We have to come together. Sacramento knows that the only way that we lose is we're split up. We were able to prove that with this coming election where we came together and flipped the council from 6-1 to 4-3. All we did was come together. And if other cities join us and we come together and we say, enough is enough. There is nothing the government can do. And they know that's the answer. So they will try to make an example out of us, and we're prepared for that.
You know, I think it's interesting. One thing that the left tries to do is they start initiatives at the local level, right? You see cities, even some in California, that are allowing non-citizens to vote just in their municipal elections, right? That's kind of how it starts. It seems to me like you're doing the opposite of that here, and you are increasing security and transparency in the election process at the local level. And it's fascinating that the left's powers that be are opposing it when it does stuff to increase security. So I think what you're doing really is a remarkable thing, kind of heroic. And I think it's something that other cities should follow. So how are things going in the lawsuit with the attorney general?
Well, our city attorney has been on a trial the whole time. So we haven't had a chance to sit down and discuss how we're going to move forward. But what I can tell you is we're not going to allow him to continue to bully us. That is exactly what's happening. He's never been to Huntington Beach. I've invited him on interviews, and I know he watches them. Come on down. I'd be happy to show you what our city's like. You're imposing all of these burdens on us, all these regulations, restrictions, and requirements. Come and visit our city. And he refuses to do so. So as soon as our city attorney is back next week, we're going to sit down and discuss how to move forward. We did have a press conference. And that was our first step.
And it seems like you've got a great attorney who's working on this for you. I've read some of his work and some of his quotes about this. I think it should also be mentioned that, you know, attorneys that are fighting for voter rights, we see so many things in the news about how they're attacked. It is actually a brave stance, I think, for your attorney to take here, to stand up for the city and for the rights of voters.
He is, and we're lucky because he's an in-house attorney. When we were elected, we promised his wife, we said, we're going to keep your husband busy. And we've kept our promise. He's fighting. He loves our city. He loves our state. He's full-on constitutionalist. And he's going in the right direction, in our opinion. We have other attorneys that have now offered to help pro bono on this lawsuit against the state, the one that they just filed to stop us from asking for voter ID. So other attorneys are saying, we're here to help. Tell us what you need. So we want this. The residents want it. People with common sense want this. And we're going to do everything we can to bring it out and give it to them.
So you say that everyone with common sense wants this. What do you say to the argument that it's already illegal to vote if you're not a citizen in California, that you already have to show an ID to register to vote? What would you say to people that say, we've already got laws in place that prevent this?
Well, they keep saying our election system is so secure. That's one of the things that the attorney general said and the governor. I'll tell you, I walked in, gave them my name, gave them my address, and they handed me my ballot. How is that secure? So we have several residents who have been to our city council meetings, and they say, I showed up to vote, and I was told I already voted. So the attorney general's response to that is, where are the people that were prosecuted? Well, how are you going to prosecute someone? There aren't any cameras allowed inside. You didn't ask them for an ID, so you can see who it is that's taking somebody else's ballot. So you can't really, we're kind of like stuck in a catch-22, and they know that's the loop we're never going to get out of. So we're going to move forward. These people whose ballots were taken by somebody else had to fill out provisional ballots. And one of them, they said that they weren't going to allow it. So this citizen was, that had her right to vote stolen from her. But apparently the state doesn't care. But I tell you, my biggest concern is, what are they afraid of? You know, they said people, low-income communities were going to be disenfranchised. Of course, I was in a low-income community. The majority of us need some form of government assistance. We're poor. First thing they ask us for when we show up to look for government assistance is an ID. But they're saying that we can't have an ID to vote. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. That's exactly right. So let me ask you this. You've talked a couple of times in this interview about coming from a lower income background in Los Angeles. It seems to me like you're the type of a voter that you want to protect, but also that the left says that they are trying to protect. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience as a voter with that background and what it was like for you, your first times voting, right? As laws changed and things progressed. Can you talk a little bit about what it's been like for you to vote?
They're not trying to protect us. The left is not trying to protect us. I was on that side. And I'll tell you, the city that I grew up in looks exactly the same way. I'm 50 years old now. The city I grew up in looks exactly the same as it did when I was in elementary school out there. Nothing's changed. And it's all these same promises. We want to protect you. When I was there, I was voting and I had an ID. It was never a problem. So they're pushing. And one thing that I did let the attorney general know and the governor is us Latinos, low-income minorities, however they want to label us. We are now aware that we are being used in order for them, Sacramento, to pass bad legislation. They're saying for these minorities, people you can't touch. If you talk about somebody like me, normally they'll say you're being racist because I'm a Latina. If you talk about somebody who's LGBT, you can't do that. You're homophobic. You can't even mention that. So they're using us in order to pass bad legislation, and we're waking up. Nothing's changing in these low-income communities. We're only given enough to survive. We're giving enough to keep us content, but we are never giving enough to move forward. And that is what we're trying to do now. Affirmative action, only a few kids got to benefit. No, fix our schools so that every child has an opportunity. And that is what we want now. Because now we realize we're used, we're done. And there's a huge shift here in California where Latinos are waking up and saying, we're done, we're going to the other side. Let's try the other side. We're miserable, we're tired, we're paying more at the gas pump, water, gas, sewage, electricity. We're not happy and we're fighting each other. And that's how Sacramento wants it. If we're fighting each other, we're not turning around looking at them. They're the ones we need to be fighting with. And that is what we're doing right now. We're waking up. They don't like me because I am of this background. And I'm saying, no, I was poor. I wasn't stupid. Stop treating me like I can't think for myself. And now we're getting angry saying, stop talking for us. Stop speaking for us. We are capable of doing that ourselves. And I am the first Latina council member here. I'm the first Latina mayor here. And you'd think the left would be supportive of that. And they're not. So I'm a single mom. I've been homeless, domestic abuse survivor. I've been through all those struggles and I made it, but they won't celebrate somebody like me because then they can't play the hero. I got out of this with the support of my family, friends, and a lot of stubbornness. But I got out of it and they're not embracing me at all. As a matter of fact, out of the seven council members, I'm probably the most hated by the left.
Well, it's an incredible story. And the way that you're empowering citizens and moms, like you said when you started out, I'm not surprised that they are fighting you every step of the way. You know, one thing that you said is the importance of protecting voters. And you talked just a minute ago about people in Huntington Beach that showed up to vote, but were told that they had already voted, right? And we don't know how that happened, but it probably has something to do with the fact that you just need to show up and vote with a name and an address, and you're allowed to vote. Now, one thing that I find interesting about that is a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, we had an assistant attorney general for Texas that talked about all of the cases of voter fraud that he saw that people just chose not to prosecute, right? Prosecutors have discretion. So often they're going after, you know, violent crimes and things that impact the community that they choose not to go after voter fraud. How widespread is this? And how is your policy here going to improve and protect these voters that are saying that they don't have the opportunity to vote?
Personally, I know four people here in Huntington Beach that has happened to. A lot of them will not even report it. Like I say, they give up. They say it's California. There's no hope. We give up. It doesn't matter. Maybe I'm going to pack up and go. I think it's more widespread than we think, because a lot of people aren't speaking up. And then if they speak up, they're ridiculed. The left says, oh, yeah, whatever. You're just making it up. You're just whining. So what? You got a provisional ballot. We shouldn't have to settle for a provisional ballot. We should be able to get our own ballot. And yes, they have a sign, but my signature's changed from when I got my ID to when I got married. Even being here on council, my signature has changed. And they still count my ballot. And I know for a fact it doesn't look the way it does on my ID. So don't tell me that my signature is going to prove my identity, because my signature is about 20 years old and it's changed since then.
Well, and I think that's the case for a lot of voters. It seems shocking to me that if you've got documented instances of people in your community being told that they can't vote, that implementing something like this would even be controversial. But it is. We know that it is. The last thing I want to touch on that I think can be helpful for other cities in California is, the city is citing the home rule provision of the California Constitution, which allows charter cities to make and enforce ordinances and regulations in respect to municipal affairs, and makes those laws supreme over laws with which they conflict. That's my summary here. I had to get the legal definition. Tell us about how you're using the home rule provision in California and how other cities can do the same thing if we want to empower cities in such a liberal state.
Well, number one, we're a charter city, and that helps us significantly. Not every city here is charter, and amazingly, some cities were trying to make themselves charter, and the voters voted against their own best interests. But we are. So our California Constitution allows us the right to be responsible for local control over our municipal affairs. These elections are a municipal affair. It is an issue. And that is our home rule. And we're going to push with that forward. I think they forgot they put it in there. Or maybe they just don't care. But we are allowed to do this. And we're going to. It's just frustrating because it blows my mind that if this is so illegal, why are you trying to make it illegal now? You have our Constitution. It's very clear. We have the voters. They said this is what we want. The Attorney General said this was undemocratic. This was voted on by the voters, our election process, the most democratic process on this planet. And they're saying, we don't care what you say. We want democracy, but we don't care what you say. So is that really democracy? Not in my opinion. But who am I? I'm just a mayor.
Well, government overreach is something that we touch on a lot in this podcast. So I'm not surprised at all to hear this. Mayor, thank you for your time. This has been wonderful. Can you tell us how people can follow what is happening in the city of Huntington Beach, how they can follow you and your incredible work there, and then also what's going on with the case?
So with our case, we still have to talk to our attorney, so I don't want to get into the legal part of it until I talk to him. If people are trying to email me, they can email me at Gracie4HBCC. So Gracie, the number 4HBCC@gmail.com. Or I do post updates on my Instagram, which is Gracie4HB. It's GRACEYFORHB. And I'm on Instagram as well. So we can use all the support we can. Maybe Texas will join us. If we ever have to take it at a federal level, And some people have already said this might go to the Supreme Court at some point.
Well, Texas has a legislative session coming up. I think this is something that, we are going to look at here. Mayor, thank you for joining us. This is Josh Fidley with the Texas Public Policy Foundation's National Election Protection Project. Thanks for joining us on this podcast.